Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
What's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Don't forget our buddy Ben Lyon stops by at 1040 for our weekly movie review and conversation. Tune in to the ESPN Daily Podcast with our friend Mina Kimes, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. Presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review the ESPN Daily with Mina Kimes, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. So, real quick, before I get into this Frank Vogel story, Bergman, what is your issue? You were complaining about something during the break.
Well, I wake up in the middle of the night every single night recently with my lower back just absolutely killing me. Where I have to go to the floor to try and sleep on the floor. I went to the couch last night. It's just been all over the place. My back is
okay.
A disaster.
Let me ask you a couple of questions here, Dr. Sedano. Okay, as someone who's had back issues here over the years. Number one. What kind of mattress do you have?
I have a very soft mattress with a pillow top on it, and it is like a fluffy cloud, and it's amazing.
Okay. That's probably your first problem. Number two, have you put on any weight recently?
I mean, yes.
Okay. That's probably your second problem. And so here's what I would tell you. I, like you, at a certain age, started to have real bad back problems. And it was a combination of two things. I had put on a lot of weight. First of all, I was eating a lot more, and I was also lifting a lot, which wasn't good for me. Like, my body couldn't take it. So I was too big for my frame, both from a weight perspective and just a mass perspective. So, and I also, like you, was like, pillow top, like a cloud. Oh my God, it's so great. The problem with the pillow top, like a cloud, it's so great, is that your body sinks. And yeah, that means your back isn't firm the way it needs to be, or straight like it needs to be. As you get older, your mattress needs to get firmer. And what you need to do is get a firm mattress. That way your back won't hurt. And, you know, you should probably, you know, squeeze in a salad and perhaps even, you know, a jog here or there.
Squeeze in a salad. I really should be squeezing in a salad. I mean, since I've been at home, I mean, I was putting on weight before the pandemic started, but since the pandemic started, the amount of food that goes into my body has been way more than it ever should have been.
You're squeezing into your jeans now.
Squeezing in is the right choice of words. So, yeah, I mean, those could be the problem. Maybe it is time to go on a bit of a diet. Maybe it is. I mean, I love this mattress so much. It's going to be very disappointing to leave it. And I also, I'm a type of guy, like, I need to lay on a mattress to know that I like it. And I don't really feel like going into a mattress store right now.
No, not right now. But you could just, why don't you order one of those? Don't we have like a deal? Can like one of our salespeople get one of, what is the there's that mattress that is on every radio. It's on every station, including ours. Like that, like the number, sleep number?
No, sleep number bed.
Yeah, where you could just like, you know, make it as firm as you want and or as soft as you want. And you can kind of calibrate it to whatever you want. Get one of those. Can we get the salespeople? I know that not all of us are, there's not an office right now, but I know you're hopefully listening. Can we have the salespeople help Greg out with an endorsement here? I'll do the endorsement. I'll take one too. And that way Greg gets one. You know what I'm saying? Like, he needs you. This is your problem. Like, this is what happens. You get old. Like, you know this, right? Like, this is a product of getting old.
Yeah, no, that's probably exactly what it is. I mean, I'm 36, so I don't feel like I'm old, but I am.
You're getting old. It's the reality of it. And when you come to grips with it, you'll be fine. It's that simple.
Yeah, it's just disappointing. That's all.
Listen, it gets the best of us. Father Time is undefeated. It's like we were talking about LeBron earlier. LeBron, I still think, is the best player on the planet, but eventually that won't be the case. It just happens, right? But speaking of LeBron, there was a good story in The Athletic by Brett Dawson, and it was about a feature about Frank Vogel and how he used to work for Rick Pitino. And if you remember, when we had Frank on, was it like a month ago now Frank was on?
Yeah, about a month.
Yeah, and we talked to him about his days with Pitino, right? And how much he learned for Pitino. And, you know, we talked to him about, you know, he told us the story about his first game. Scouting for Pitino with the Celtics in the video room was Michael Jordan's last season during The Last Dance, et cetera, et cetera. So I've always felt, and I've told you guys this, right? it doesn't matter who you are. Clearly, for a coach, it matters more because of the relationship that you need to have with your player and particularly your star player. But LeBron doesn't suffer fools, okay? Like, LeBron is very, he's courteous, but he will shut you down quickly, even as a reporter, right? If you're not asking thoughtful questions, okay? Because he just doesn't have time to suffer fools. He's getting asked questions a million times a day. Like, you have to come with preparation when you're asking him questions. It's something that I appreciate, because as someone who has to ask questions on the radio to him in person at games and sometimes behind the scenes, I appreciate that I need to be sharp when asking him, and he kind of forces you to be sharp. If not, you're not going to get the answers you want. So the coaching relationship is no different with LeBron. And I saw that the first year with Eric Spoelstra, there was some real tension there. And then after that first season, in the second season, when he kind of created an offense around LeBron and forced him to play the four and created this pace and space offense around him by talking to different basketball coaches and talking to football coaches like Urban Meyer and Chip Kelly, LeBron gained a respect for Eric Spoelstra and understood that they could level with each other on an X's and O's type of level. And he understood the grind that Eric put himself through. And it's why I felt that Frank was also going to be a good match, as that the key to him was getting buy-in. It's something Amin and I talked about on the air together. It's something my buddy Mo Dackel, who works for Bleacher Report and The Athletic, we talked about with him too, because he was a former video coordinator in the league for the Clippers and the Spurs. And we talked about that being the most important thing. And we just talked about it with Nurse this week on Tuesday about getting buy-in and how important that is. And Frank got the buy-in. And it's something that Pitino talked about in this article. Here's what he said. I thought he, as in Frank Vogel, would be perfect for LeBron, because LeBron is going to know whether you know your stuff or not. He's so in tuned with basketball, he's going to know whether you can teach the game, you understand the game, and Frank does. And then Vogel was interviewed in this story and agreed as much, and actually Vogel laid it out perfectly. He said he has to know the answers, just the way he did in the practice gym at Kentucky and in the meeting room in Boston. I'm sorry, that's what the story said. Here's what Vogel said about LeBron. With LeBron, the BS, and he used the word, which is great, the BS radar is one of the best. And he not only wants to know that you know it, but he demands that everyone around him works as hard as he does. And he's right. That's absolutely the case. There's the infamous story about LeBron. I think we talked about it with McMiniman, right? Where a player came into the game, I think it was with the Toronto Raptors a number of years ago, like 4 or 5 years ago, where he told the player where he needed to be on the floor to run the play they were going to run against his Cleveland team. So that's the type of basketball savant that you're dealing with when you're dealing with LeBron. And you don't have a lot of those guys. I'm not saying that there aren't guys in basketball who don't understand. Of course they understand the X's and O's. They wouldn't be playing in the league that long if they didn't understand that stuff. But he understands it to a different level. It's kind of like when we talk about Sean McVay and his photographic memory for knowing things and the way he can kind of just think of plays in his head. It's kind of like A Beautiful Mind, right? When the movie A Beautiful Mind, it kind of reminds me of that with guys like LeBron and guys like McVay. And you have to know the answers. If you don't know the answers, LeBron is just going to push you away. And it happened to David Blatt. I'm not saying it happened with Luke, but I think that some of that might have been there, right? The respect, lack of respect. And I think Luke was also put in a tough situation because we all know how the Magic thing went. And here's the other part of it. Even beyond that, the Luke part is this. They were in the same draft class. And I think that if you're a guy like LeBron, is hard to kind of grasp, right? Like, I'm going to take advice from this guy in the same draft class. Like, LeBron has always gravitated to veteran guys in his own locker room. Ray Allen, he was like a little puppy dog following Ray Allen around you know, at the beginning when they were playing together. And I don't mean that in like a demeaning way. I mean that in, I would do the same thing. Like, I would be a puppy dog if Bob Costas all of a sudden popped into the radio station and let me talk to him every day about stuff. Of course I would be. You wouldn't respect someone like that. So that is the type of mind that LeBron respects. He respects someone who knows his stuff, someone who can illustrate the stuff, and who can explain the stuff in a way that not only gets him on board, but gets the entire team on board. And it's why Spoelstra eventually got the buy-in. It's why Frank, to his credit, got the buy-in early, which I was very impressed with. And, you know, Ty Lue got buy-in from LeBron. But there are guys that didn't. I mentioned Luke, David Blatt. There are casualties of this stuff. So it's a really cool story in The Athletic. You should read it from Brett Dawson about Vogel. And, you know, the focus about LeBron, I thought was certainly interesting. And just kind of worth looking into. I did mention, obviously, LeBron and the Lakers there. I know we have some Alex Caruso sound. Laura, are you there? Okay. Can you play the sound? So Alex Caruso was on the Zach Lowe podcast and was asked about the potential of playing in the bubble atmosphere and if he had any fears, basically, or any worries about playing in the bubble atmosphere. And here's what the Caruso said.
I haven't reached out too much to people around the league. If I've talked to anybody at all, it's been within my team and my organization. But I don't have a sense that that's a big fear. And obviously, there's a lot of science and there's a lot of health regulations that go into it. But we're some of the most healthy human beings on the planet. We're some of the most in shape human beings on the planet. And obviously, it's case by case. And you knock on wood that everybody stays healthy and nothing bad happens. But at the end of the day, I feel pretty confident that I wouldn't lose my life, you know, to the extreme that this has gotten with the pandemic. I don't feel like I would lose my life if I got it or played against somebody that did. So that's one of the many, many questions that goes into this whole restart is about the safety and about the concerns of the players. And on my end, and at least the people I've talked to, it's not too much of a concern.
So he's not concerned. And look, while I do agree that, look, the science tells us that it skews a certain direction, it doesn't mean that, you know, it can't affect other people who aren't in that particular age demographic. But I think that Alex has the right attitude going into it and understanding that there could be people that could be affected, particularly coaches, guys on the staff who are older. And I think he's simply just referring to the players and himself. And I think from that perspective, I don't think he's wrong necessarily. I think that it is, I think, interesting to hear him vocalize it, though. And it's good to kind of hear a voice of a player, because we always hear from the star players for the most part. And I think that sometimes we neglect hearing from the guys who are also part of the team, who may not be the superstars or the all-stars, because we're in an age where the superstars and the all-stars are controlling the Players Association, but there are 450 players in this league, including plenty of guys that are more like Alex Caruso than like the superstars. Speaking of superstars, there could be a superstar on the block. We'll tell you who that is in just a second. We know you love the transaction. And they're making us at ESPN vote for the NBA awards. You, me, and the crew are going to fill out my ballot. We're going to do it next together. Stick around. Sedano, back in 3 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN on a Friday, presented by Progressive Insurance. Check out their shower sessions, part interview, part concert, all from the shower. Grammy winner St. Vincent invites up-and-coming artists to sing, share, and get funky, all in the sound booth of the home, the shower. Watch now on YouTube.com/progressive. If you're missing basketball, tune in Sunday night for an NBA Classic, Game 7 of the 2017 Finals between LeBron's Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors. Presented by AutoZone, coverage begins at 5 Pacific on ESPN Radio, right here on 710 ESPN and the ESPN app. So, a couple of things. I saw this story today before I get into the NBA superstar who could be on the trading block. And of course, the NBA survey. So at ESPN, they're making us vote for our Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Sixth Man, Most Improved Player, and MVP. And the way they're structuring it, and I'll get to this in a second, is who you think should win, like my own personal opinion, who's second, in my opinion, who's third, and then the fourth question is, okay, who do you think actually will win, right? Not your position, but who do you think will actually win the award, that particular award? So I want to do that with you guys. We'll have some fun, and maybe the audience can help and kind of discuss it as well. So we'll do that in a second, so stick around for that. Plus, I wanted to kind of let you know what's going on with the NBA right now. So before we get to that, Quentin Tarantino, he's just been on record. He thinks The Social Network is the best movie of the decade, of the 2010s. Now, I like The Social Network, okay? But would I call it the best movie of the decade? I don't know about that. If I thought about a group of movies in the 2010 era, right? The tens. I mean, Social Network was really good. I liked Inception personally. I'm trying to think what other movies I like. I mean, look, I'm a Natalie Portman fan. I thought Black Swan was really, really good. And that was an Oscar movie, award-winning movie.
Would you count any of the Marvel movies?
Yeah, the Marvel movies are in there. I mean, I like Marvel movies. Don't get me wrong. They are good. I don't know if I put them in the same category as like The Social Network or like even Inception. But I do think that they're really good movies, or even Black Swan. I'm thinking like more along the lines of Oscar award winning movies, but I could be wrong. Like, you know, Toy Story 3 came out in that decade, and I thought that was a great movie. It was a sequel, you know?
Yeah, how would you feel about Uncut Gems, which didn't make the Oscars?
Okay, so I haven't watched Uncut Gems yet. And the reason I haven't watched it is everyone I've talked to that watches the movie says it's super anxiety ridden.
It is.
Like, you're watching the movie and you just are a ball of nerves. And here's the thing. I like watching movies, but I got like that. Like, have you ever seen Requiem for a Dream?
Oh, never again.
Super disturbing, right? Yep. That's disturbing. That's not anxiety ridden. That's disturbing. Great movie, though. But I would only watch it once. And even Joker with Joaquin Phoenix.
Really good.
Really good. But I'm not watching that movie again. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a one-time affair. So I got to be in the right frame of mind to watch Uncut Gems. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and Uncut Gems is exactly that. It's extremely uncomfortable. The entire time I was on my seat, like, squirming, because it was just like, oh, no, don't stop. Don't do that. But it was just incredible, and Adam Sandler's performance was so good. It's worth the watch.
Yeah. I mean, man, it's tough. Like, I want to see it because, first of all, it's basketball related, so I want to watch it. But it isn't easy. It isn't easy to watch. Laura, is there a movie in that decade that you love the most?
I was gonna say Black Panther, so that kind of took that.
Yeah, no,
me.
That's fine.
I really like the Green Book.
Oh, okay. The Green Book is a good movie.
The Green Book was a good movie.
How about Get Out?
Ooh, Get Out is a good one, too. And that genre kind of got brought back, the thriller genre, because of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. That's a good one. All right, so people can chime in on their thoughts on it, 877-710-ESPN. Here's what's going on in the NBA, and then we'll do our awards thing here in a second. So Shams Charania reported here earlier this morning about the GM survey. The GMs all met with Adam Silver, and they kind of voted on what's going on and what they would prefer. So 53% of GMs chose to advance directly to the playoffs. So the majority, I don't believe that's going to happen, okay? So what I'm going to tell you is what the report says, and I don't think that it necessarily means that's what the league is going to do. I'm going to tell you, much like we're going to do with these awards in a little bit, I'm going to tell you what I think the most likely scenario is. I think the most likely scenario is that we have a set of regular season games, okay? Because 60% voted for... If you're going to have regular season games, they want to have at least 72, which means if you look at the league right now, 63 The teams have played anywhere between 63 and 67 games. So that means at most teams would play 9 games. At the least, teams would play 5. I think there'll be some sort of happy medium, and maybe they'll play all of the teams that are going to be available are going to play 8 to 10 regular season games. 83% of the GMs voted for playoff plus, which means 20 or more teams. Now, Greg, you had mentioned that's to get Zion and Damian Lillard in a playoff scenario, in a play-in scenario. Yeah, sure. Let's go. More stars, that's better. I'm in on that.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I mean, look, and I'm with you too. I really believe that if you have them in the playoffs, it's better to have them there than to not have them there. I mean, you'd probably have to knock out somebody like John Morant, which he could be a good guy to have on there in there too.
Yeah, but he's going to be in the playoffs.
In that situation, you know, you're right, because you're taking out a team.
Even in the play-in, if he's in the play-in, who cares? It's still having him in there. You know what I mean? Like, he's not going anywhere. He's already cemented in this discussion.
Right, but you want him in the actual playoffs itself. Like, the play-in is like the play-in for the NCAA tournament, where, you know, it's there. It doesn't really count for what it's going on.
I mean, it does count,
still a
actually.
Part.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
do say that it is the tournament. You made the tournament. But did you really make the tournament if you're not in the top 64?
I mean, technically you are. You're in the 68. It's called 68 now in the college basketball tournament.
Technically, but not really.
All right. So anyway, the other thing they voted on was what else? Oh, the GMs end the season no later than October 1st. Hell, I would move it further, you know, up than that. I'd like to finish the season no later than maybe the first or second week of September. I think you don't want to run up against the NFL if you don't have to. GMs want larger roster flexibility to manage their roster. I know Amin was on earlier this morning talking about that with the morning show, that you could have like a taxi squad of guys who could come in who aren't on current rosters, who can fill rosters if guys get hurt or whatever, or even contract the virus, right? Like a DeMarcus Cousins who's not on a team right now, and they can sign guys to 10 days and things like that. So that's smart. I would want that too. And then 53% voted to maintain a traditional playoff seeding. 47% want the 1 through 16. So here's what I think is going to happen. And again, don't aggregate me. I'm just telling you an educated guess. I think you get traditional 1 through 8, East and West. I think you get about 20 to 24 teams. And beyond the 16, you're going to have the play-in scenarios. I think you're going to get 8 to 10 regular season games. And that's it. Like, I think that's your deal. And that'll be it. And hopefully they start mid to late July. That seems to be the deal. I think they don't want to start any later than August 1st. But that is my understanding of where this thing is and where it's headed. Laura, can you find me some like music to play under this while we do this awards thing? Like, I just whatever. It doesn't matter. It just could be like a bed or something of any sort. Like, just something to jazz it up a little bit. Yeah, there you go. That's perfect.
Actually. The greatest music of NBA history.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so Bergman, I've explained to you on our NBA awards list, right?
Yep.
That they make us do at ESPN, like an internal thing, and then they'll publish it on ESPN.com and the ESPN app and all that stuff. So they did Rookie of the Year, okay? They did Who Should Win, as in my number one opinion. Then I get to vote my second, my third, and then who I think will actually win the vote, which could be different. You know what I'm saying? It may not be, but it could be. So here's what I did on Rookie of the Year. I did Who Should Win, Ja Morant.
Correct.
Second, I wrote Zion Williamson.
Correct.
I would vote Zion Williamson third. Second. Third, I voted in Kendrick Nunn of the Heat as third. He's put up big numbers. He's actually played more games than Zion. Some people would probably vote him second. I would vote him third because I think Zion's impact. Who will win? Who I think will win the vote? I think it's going to be Ja, and I think it's going to be kind of – I think he's going to kind of run away with it.
Yeah, I think it's Ja too, and he should win and will win. And I actually agree with you. I do think Kendrick Nunn is the other guy that should get it as well.
Right. So the next one is Coach of the Year. Who should win? I put Billy Donovan. The Oklahoma City Thunder were an over-under of 33 wins in Vegas to start the season. They have more than that already, and we've only played 60-something games, okay? So I think Billy Donovan has done an incredible job this season coaching that team. Second, I had our boy Nick Nurse, who we had on Tuesday. He lost Kawhi Leonard and is still one of the top four teams in the entire NBA, regardless of conference. And then third, I had Vogel. I have Vogel as my third guy. And then who will win? I think Billy will win, but I think it's going to be a really close vote.
Yeah, I think Billy's probably has the best chance because they were not supposed to make the playoffs. Who's the coach in Memphis? I can't think of what his name is right now.
Memphis? Taylor Jenkins.
Taylor Jenkins. I think he's done a phenomenal job. And
he'll get some votes. Yeah, yeah, he'll get some votes.
But Vogel absolutely should. I mean, you're gonna look at both Anthony Davis and LeBron James being on that team. But the fact of the matter is, they haven't made the playoffs in 6 years, and then all of a sudden they're number one in the West. That just looks like Coach of the Year to me.
Okay, that's fine. You could be Laker boy. I still have him in my ballot, but I'm not giving him the award.
It needs to be in the ballot. I actually agree with you that Billy Donovan will be the winner of all this because of what he's done with the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Right. I mean, he's lost Westbrook and Durant in the last couple of years. So, I mean, you know, and he's still one of the top four seeds in the Western Conference. All right, right. Defensive player of the year. So, who should win? I voted Giannis should win.
Really?
Second, yeah. Yeah, why? Why? Why don't you think Giannis?
I know you're going to call me Laker boy, but Anthony Davis is the best defender in the league.
No, I don't believe so. But that's fine. I don't think Anthony Davis is the best defensive player in the league. I think Anthony Davis is going to get votes, but I don't think he is the best player in the league defensively. Number two, Rudy Gobert has better metrics than Anthony Davis as well. I voted him second. I have Anthony Davis third. I actually considered putting Ben Simmons in there, but his regular season numbers aren't that good. But he is one of the best defenders in the league and literally can guard five positions. Who will win? I think Giannis is going to win this award.
You think he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year? And I don't know what you're going to do with MVP, but win both of them? I mean, that would call for it. If you win both of those awards, then yeah, you should be the MVP. But I don't know. I honestly think the way that Anthony Davis affects games on both ends of the floor and affects shots consistently and block shots and what he does, and he can guard 1 through 5. I just think Anthony Davis is the right choice.
That's fine. I Laker boy, you're good there. Sixth man, who should win? Montrezl Harrell. I think he's been the best sixth man this year.
Yep.
Second, I had, oh man, I don't remember off the top of my head now. I'd have to look at my ballot.
Not Lou Will.
I didn't have Lou Will on my ballot at all, actually. All right, let's skip that. I'll come back to it because I don't remember off the top of my head. So most improved player, I have Bam Adebayo at number one. I think he's the most improved player. I you can make the case he's actually the best player on his team. For as much fanfare as Jimmy Butler has gotten and deserved, you can make the case Bam is actually the more impactful player on that particular team, which says a lot because Jimmy Butler is a top 15 player in the NBA right now.
Yeah, I actually agree with you. Bam Adebayo has been fantastic, and what he's done against guys like Giannis has been really eye-opening because his defensive – is he going to be up there for Defensive Player of the Year award?
He is, but there's a lot of guys in Defensive Player of the Year that I think that you could put in there. You know what I mean? So it's hard.
Right.
Number two, I have Brandon Ingram. I got Brandon Ingram as my number two guy. And then number three, this is going to sound crazy, but Luka Doncic. Luka Doncic has gone from a really good player – right? Borderline all-star to an MVP candidate. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a huge jump, okay? And look, you can make the same case for Pascal Siakam, but I think Luka's jump has been bigger. Who will win? I don't know who's going to win this award. I mean, I would vote, I'm going to stick with Bam, but I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Brandon Ingram won.
Brandon Ingram has a great chance to do it. He carried the Thunder until Zion got there. So he's got a really good chance. I'm kind of on board with the Luka Doncic one, and I think he's going to be the one that ends up winning it because he's gone from being a good player to a star. He is an absolute star with, I don't know how many triple-doubles he's had this year.
I mean,
and he's led that team.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Laura, you have Brandon Ingram at number one, most improved?
I did, and then Luka at two. So we were kind of there.
Okay. And then lastly for MVP, I mean, this isn't a shock. I've already said this a million times. I've got LeBron at one. I think, you know, I talked about this with Trudell yesterday. I know Damian Lillard also agrees with me. I've got Giannis at two. And at three, I have Chris Paul, which you and I have discussed, Greg, on this show before. Yep. I think what Chris Paul has done is incredible. He's come back to be Chris Paul. Everybody wrote him off. And look at what the hell the Thunder have done, just like what I mentioned with Billy Donovan. But who I actually think will win it, even though I have LeBron, I think Giannis is going to win it.
Yes, Giannis is probably going to end up winning it because that's just how it's going to be. Even though he won it last year, right?
Yeah.
So it's not as much of a traveling award as some of the other ones are. But LeBron, I mean, look, again, here comes Laker boy. But you agree with me, so it's nice. LeBron, what he's done with all of his triple-doubles, where he's changed basically his entire role. He's no longer just a scorer. He is a facilitator to where he's leading the league in assists at this point. And he's played good defense. He's played respectable defense for most of the year when normally he waits until, like, March.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he has. He has played very well. That's why I voted number one. All right, that's my my list. I'll figure out the six-man thing. I just have to go in the break and figure it out because I know I had more than Harrell, obviously. all right, coming up next, they do it bigger in Texas, but are they doing it smarter than us here in California? That and the Forbes World Highest Paid Athletes list. Where's LeBron on that list? We'll get to that in 2.5 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Real quick. Thank You Thursdays is coming, presented by Valvoline. 710 ESPN wants to salute all our frontline workers, as we should be doing every day, as part of our Thank You Thursdays, presented by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. If you know someone who's working as a healthcare provider, we've had plenty who call the show. Police or firefighters, we have plenty who call the show as well and listen to the show. Or a food service professional. Nominate him or her today. Here's how. Email us at ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com. That's ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com. First and last name, city and occupation, please. Or you can post a short video on Instagram or Twitter, including the hashtag 710 Thank You Thursdays. That's hashtag 710 Thank You Thursdays. Every Thursday, we'll interview a frontline worker and award them a $500 thank you gift, which includes a $200 service to a Valvoline Instant Oil Change, a $100 gift card to Wingstop and VSLiquor.com, and a $100 Shooteria gift card. Cat footwear is also available at Shooteria. So Ben Lyons is going to join us in the next segment. We got a short segment here for you. Real quick on the sixth man. Here's who I voted for. Now I have the list. So Montrezl Harrell was my guy, was number one. Dennis Schroeder was my number two guy, Bergman, who's been the sixth man for Oklahoma City. He was my number two guy. And then number three, I voted for Bogdan Bogdanovic of the Sacramento Kings. He had been their sixth man most of the season. That's who I voted for.
The only one that has any chance against Harrell, I think, would be Dennis Schroeder, because it's usually a award that goes to a guy that comes in and just scores.
And a good team. Yeah, for sure.
Right.
So that would be it. Just so, you know, for those that we missed it earlier, I'm sorry, I forgot about that. So anyway, couple of things that I want to get to here. So we've been talking about a number of different things. We have the Forbes list that I want to get to in a second, which is interesting. But Texas, according to reports, will soon allow outdoor pro sports events to have spectators, but their numbers will be strictly limited to 25% capacity. Now, Greg, you know I'm very antsy about this, but, you know, our audience feels very different about it. We had this discussion not that long ago when we were talking about the Dolphins plan. Remember, the Miami Dolphins were the first professional team to come up with a plan about basically going into the stadium like you're boarding a airplane, right? And that their capacity was going to be 15,000 out of 65,000 seats, which is about 25%. And I didn't love it then, but the audience seems to be in on it. Like, people are like, yeah, man. Like, I remember asking about the Rams stadium at SoFi and the Raiders stadium in Vegas, and people were into this. So, look, me personally, and again, you know how I feel about this stuff. Like, I'm never going to tell you, Greg Bergman, or you, Laura, how to conduct your life. I will suggest stuff, but it's up to you. We're all grown-ass adults here. We can all do what we want. I just wouldn't do it. Like, you know, now I will be at sporting events that may have fans. I may be at one potentially in a couple of months that doesn't have any fans. And there's risk involved with that. But I feel like because of the testing protocols that will be in place, I feel like I'm confident that I'd be okay doing it. And everyone has a different risk tolerance. And I'm not saying you should have the same risk tolerance that I have. But it is going to be interesting because they're going to have people at these football games, particularly.
Yeah, and I'm with you where I feel really, really antsy about it. I don't really like it. And then remember, we did have that one guy that said that he would wear a hazmat suit if he had to go watch the Raiders play.
He did. He did say that. That was funny.
Right. So, I mean, so people are going to do whatever they want to do. I don't feel comfortable with it just yet. I don't think that putting people together in a big capacity like that is smart or the right thing to do.
You are also immunocompromised, though.
Yes, I am. I have MS, and if something happens to me, it hits me a little bit stronger than it would other people.
Right. Yeah. So I you know, want to make sure we know that too. So anyway, Laura, now you ventured out recently, no?
I did. I went to a restaurant yesterday with a friend, had a drink.
So
how weird was it?
It was so weird. I felt like there was so many people, but yet it looked so empty at the same time. And I didn't want to move from my spot. And I had my hand sanitizer all the time. So it's very different. It was, I don't think I would do it again. Not anytime soon.
Really?
Yeah, no.
You wouldn't do it again?
I wouldn't, because it felt so uncomfortable. And so many people, well, the people that were there felt too comfortable, you know, to be there without their mask and laughing. And yeah, no, it was an experience that I don't want to, you know, partake again in a couple months.
Maybe so you weren't anxiety ridden for you at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And we wanted to go and have a drink. So the bar was completely cut off.
Right.
And they had the booths. And I was like, how clean are these? You know, I don't know. It was just too many things going on. And yeah.
Were people separated though? Like enough? Yeah.
Yeah. So they had, at least where we were, there was two tables and then us and then two tables and then another party.
Okay.
But I saw people with their families, and that was weird to me, like with little kids there. I'm just like, dude, no, I don't know. I just didn't.
Yeah. It's different risk tolerance for everyone, mm-hmm. for sure. Yeah. And if it weirded you out, you don't have to go back for a while. Like until you're comfortable, like that's cool. Like, I think we should all respect each other. Like, we started the show talking about respect and empathy, particularly with what's going on in the world on several different levels. And this is one of it. Like, people are going to have a different risk tolerance, and you need to respect it. And that's it. Like, it, you know, you do what you feel is you're comfortable with. And it's that simple. So cool. All right. So you know what? I'm going to save this list for the other side, because we had a short segment here, and Ben is going to come up. We'll do our movie review, but we're going to do this full Forbes list. Also, I want to ask, speaking of food and risk tolerance, I got a story for you, and I want to hear from the audience on this one too. We'll get to that. We are back in 2 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. If you missed any one of our interviews all week long, check out the entire Interview on Demand section of the Sedano Show podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts or Google, wherever you find your podcast. Brought to you by Capital One Venture Card. When you earn unlimited double miles on every purchase, your next trip is closer than you think. What's in your wallet? Ben Lyons is going to join us here in a second, giving us a Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Make sure you check out UFC Fight Night coming up this weekend. Check it out on ESPN and ESPN Plus. And Dana White has already given out the UFC 250 pay-per-view card. I saw that yesterday on SportsCenter. It's going to be a great card. Amanda Nunes is going to be on it. And this UFC preview is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance. Watch the new shower sessions videos now on youtube.com/progressive. So let me know what Ben's there, because I want Ben to partake in this list, because I want you guys to all guess like what number these guys are. So Laura, have some cool music available. It doesn't have to be, not the NBA music this time, because we're dealing with all sports. We're going to do the Forbes list here in a second, and then we'll do Ben's movie review this week with hockey coming back. He wanted to do some hockey stuff. Real quick, I want you to help Bergman out here. So Bergman, Ben, and thank you for joining us as you do every week. Bergman, Ben, has been complaining about his back. So I asked him, I said, let me ask you two questions. One, what kind of mattress do you have? And Bergman, you responded with what?
A soft, fluffy cloud.
Right, with a pillow top.
Yes.
And then I asked him, has he put on some weight recently? And the answer was yes. And I said, well, those two are your biggest problems. As you get older, if you have back problems, you probably should lose a little weight, squeeze in a salad here or there, and, you know, maybe get a little extra run in there if you can. And also, you got to get a firmer mattress. Like, it happened to me in my mid-30s, and you have to change. Like, I don't know if you're in on any of this, Ben. You're also in good shape. You take care of yourself. Your wife is a yogi and an instructor, and, like, she's all about the mind, the body, and the soul. soul, so I don't feel like you have these Greg Bergman problems. But do you agree with my assessment of Greg Bergman and his back issues?
Oh, I love it, Dr. Sedano, and I'll be on with Dr. Clapper tomorrow morning on 8:15 on the Weekend Warrior show. And I feel for you, Greg. I got a lot of back pains, too. And it really does come down to your core, your diet, stretching, and hunching over. We're on our phones and our screens and our computers so much we don't even realize it. That begins to compound over time, mixed with an irresponsible diet, a sloppy core. Next thing you know, you're a plop and your back hurts. And you can be proactive, though. Don't go under the needle. Don't go under the knife. You can do this with meditation, with holistic healing, with acupuncture, and with a healthy diet.
There you go, right. Bergman. A little acupuncture. Could you imagine Bergman, if you have acupuncture, I need video or pictures of this to post
I've
on the internet.
I've had acupuncture before, and it was incredible.
I've had it too. I love it. I think it's incredible too.
I know Bergman in those scenes, like Steve Carell and the 40-year-old virgin screaming, "Kelly Clarkson!"
yeah, for sure. Ben Lyons joins us for our weekly movie review. We'll get to that here in just a second, but I want to play a game. Forbes has put out its list, its full list of 2020 of the highest paid athletes in the world, and it includes all sports. So this includes their endorsement money, their money they make on the field, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm gonna name a player, and you tell me where you think they are on this list. Are you guys ready to play?
This is that they ranked 100 players, and 2% of them I read are women. Okay, let's get into it.
Yes, there is that. Yes, there is that. All right, are you ready? All right, so Ben, since you're the guest, I will go with you first. Where in the Forbes list do you believe Tiger Woods is in 2020?
Tiger Woods is top 20 on the list. No
he
higher.
Is, he is top 20. He is top 20. That's fair. But okay. We'll see who gets closest. Now, you can go exact number. You can go range.
14. I'll say 14.
Okay, 14. Bergman, where are you?
I still think he makes a lot of money. I'm going to go 9.
Laura, where do you think Tiger Woods is on the list?
I will go 7.
So we play by Price is Right rules. So whoever goes over, or in this case under, loses. And the closest without going over, or under in this case, wins. And that's Bergman. Tiger Woods is at number 8 on the list.
Ooh.
He comes in at number 8. So Laura, you were close. But by Price is Right rules, you lose in this case. Bergman takes the rare
no
W.
Case for you, Laura. No
look at that.
For you.
Look at that. That doesn't happen very often where Laura takes the L and Bergman takes the W.
Not on this show.
I don't like this.
All right. So next, Rams quarterback Jared Goff. Ben, where is Rams quarterback Jared Goff?
Rams quarterback Jared Goff is 81st.
Greg?
Ooh, that's what I was kind of thinking around that 80 mark, but I'm going to be a jerk and say 82nd.
Laura?
83.
Oh, you put me in a bubble.
The winner is Ben, and you're not. None of you are close. Jared Goff, number 15 on the Forbes highest paid athletes list for 2020. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, 15. That's an upset right there.
And he's the worst quarterback in his division?
Maybe
he's better than Kyler Murray.
No, I don't know about that.
We don't know about Murray yet.
I don't know if he's better than Kyler Murray. All right, let's go. Let's switch to basketball. LeBron James. Let's do one here. LeBron James. Ben Lyons, where is LeBron James on the Forbes list?
Forbes list of athletes from around the world. I'm going to say LeBron's 3rd.
Bergman?
5th.
Laura?
I hate you. I was going to say 5th.
You can say 5th, okay, too. 5th. You can have the same answer.
5th.
The answer is 5. Yes, LeBron James is 5th on the Forbes list. He is 5th on the Forbes list. And I'll tell you this. He's the highest ranked American athlete. Okay, he's the highest ranked American athlete. So let's do another one. Let's go MMA. Conor McGregor, Ben Lyons. Where is Conor McGregor?
Well, Conor McGregor is a zero, but I'm going to go with 95.
Greg Bergman.
95. I think that's way too low. I'm going to say he's 37th.
Never low enough for McGregor, Greg. Never low enough.
Laura, Conor McGregor.
I will say 32.
Bergman, what did you say?
37.
Laura wins. She's the closest. Conor McGregor, 16th. 16th
what?
This wow. year. Yeah.
Did he even fight this year? He had one fight or something?
Right. But remember, he also has a ton of endorsements. He owns his own liquor company. Like, that's big. Like, or he's part owner or something like that. Like, he's got some juice. Yeah. All right. Let's switch over to Cristiano Ronaldo of Portugal and Italian soccer fame at the moment. Ben Lyons.
He's got to be number one. If he's not number one, he's doing it wrong.
Greg Bergman.
Yeah. I mean, we can do the same number, so I'll say one also.
Laura.
I'm going to go against him and say two.
Laura's right. Cristiano Ronaldo is number two on the Forbes highest paid list. So Laura's kicking butt here. All right, let's do one more. Pick a sport, Ben. I'll let you pick a sport, like one of the professional sports.
I want to find this. Let's go with baseball.
Okay, baseball.
I think that's on a different list.
No, it's on this list.
No, Mike Trout makes a lot of money.
Yeah, Mike Trout does make a lot of money for sure. All right, so baseball, Clayton Kershaw, Ben Lyons.
Well, Clayton gives it all away, so I don't know how that factor is in, but I'm going to say for the money he earned, I'm going to go 29th.
Greg Bergman.
I think that's way too high. Baseball,
too high. Yeah.
I think he's going to be somewhere closer to like 87.
Laura.
58. I don't know.
Wow. Laura got really close. Laura wins again. You guys stink. She kicked your butt. 57, Clayton Kershaw. 57.
No, she's got it in front of her. She's cheating.
No way.
No, I'm not.
I'm just kidding.
Look at you. You can't even take an L properly. Good Lord.
No, I can't.
So, Ben Lyons, our movie review this week. Hockey's coming back, and you want hockey-inspired movies? Is that accurate?
Yeah, let's do some hockey-inspired movies. Next week, I'm going to do a deep dive with you on the movies of the decade, because I agree with Tarantino, The Social Network, right up there on the top on the list. But let's get into the best hockey movies, because hockey is taking big steps to get back on the rink. At number five, set in Charlestown, where they also shot The Town, is Slapshot with Paul Newman, where his team brings violence to the equation and sure enough ingratiates itself to the people of Charlestown. What a surprise. At number four, Goon, starring Sean William Scott from American Pie fame. He's a Canadian bouncer and bartender who gets on a semi-pro hockey team, and it's actually spawned a sequel. It's pretty well done. Goon at number four. At number three, it's Miracle. It's the story of the 1980 United States Olympic hockey team that won the Miracle on Ice. Kurt Russell, of course, feel-good movie produced by Mike Tolan, who just did The Last Dance. At number three, Miracle. At number two, Gordon Bombay. My niece and nephew just watched and discovered Mighty Ducks for the first time, and it held up for their 7 and 8 year, you know, they're 7 and 8 years old, and it just held up for them, and they loved it. I love The Flying V, and I love the sequels as well. And at number one, it's the greatest hockey movie ever. It's called Red Army, and it's about the greatest team ever, the Russian hockey team that was used by the Russian government to go against the West and propaganda against the West. And Slava Vatisov defected to the United States and joined the Detroit Red Wings, where they won multiple Stanley Cups. I saw it at the Cannes Film Festival. I met my wife at the premiere, so it holds a special place in my heart as well. Go see the documentary Red Army about the history of the Russian hockey program. It's tremendous.
That is nice. That is a nice little tie-in there. Last thing before I let you go, Costco has announced it will reinstate free food samples, Ben, starting in mid-June. It says, quote, we're going to start doing some things in mid-June as a slow rollout basis in sampling. I can't tell you anymore, but needless to say, it's not going to be where you just go and pick up an open sample with your fingers. Laura just went to a restaurant. She was somewhat uncomfortable. She says she will not go back anytime soon. If you have to go to Costco, are you hitting the samples?
Oh, the Costco thing concerns me because it sounds like there's going to be a lot of plastic that goes with that. And that's something I'm noticing throughout this pandemic is just how much plastic we constantly are forced to consume, oftentimes when we don't have a choice. So anytime we are afforded that opportunity to have a choice, take it, because so many times we aren't. So be wary of the plastic. But yeah, Laura, hanging out. Laura's going to Tao and Avenue. She's hanging out. She's out in the club. She's hanging. I don't know.
Not at all.
I don't know about that. I might have to put bottle service on hold for a couple of weeks.
Oh, Ben Lyons, thank you so much, brother, for hanging out as you do each and every week.
Guys,
so next week,
a lot of love. Thanks for having me on the show.
Next week, right? 2010. We'll review. How many do you want to do? Five, or do you want to do 10? You want to go deeper next week?
10. Let's do a deep dive. Directors, give me more than an hour. We got to really dive into this.
You know what we'll do is we'll do less sports, and then we'll get into that a little earlier, and we'll give you like a full like 8 or 9 minutes to dive into that.
George, I thought you were supposed to stick to sports, George. No? Stick to sports?
Hey, listen, I drive this bus wherever I want to, okay?
Good. So, I'm happy to be a passenger anytime. Thanks for having me on.
All right, brother, we'll talk to you next week. There is Ben Lyons for our weekly movie review. All right, we're done here. Thank you guys for engaging me in my social commentary to start the show. Again, I just want everyone to respect each other, have empathy towards each other, and just understand each other just a little bit, right? Like, let's try to do that. We live in a very strange time right now, and I think that people need to be able to do those things. Empathize with each other, understand each other, and listen to each other. Don't yell, listen to each other and talk to each other. All right, thanks to Laura, thanks to Greg, thanks to you guys for tuning in. We love you. We'll talk to you on Monday at 10. Have a great weekend.